first lesson for this evening comes to us from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning at the 11th verse. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. So ends the first lesson for this night.
Join me now in reading responsively the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second lesson is from 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with the 19th verse and continuing through the 25th verse. Hear now the word of the Lord as it is recorded for us by the writer of the epistle. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. May the Lord add his richest blessing to this, his sacred word.
I'll ask you, as you are able, to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken and how we listen be guided by the Holy Spirit and true to the Holy Gospel, that we indeed may follow the Good Shepherd, and in following, be shepherds to one another in the image of the one who gave his life for us all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The word pastor comes from a Latin noun which means shepherd, and comes from the verb pascere, meaning to lead to pasture, to lead to a place for feeding and grazing. A pastor is called to teach and preach and comfort, and by doing that, serving, bringing people to the gospel, which indeed is the pasture, where we are fed, nourished, and grow in this faith. In the Bible, a shepherd could be a young person, could be a female like Rachel, a male like David, and you know the long list of shepherds in the Bible. A rod, our staff, was an important to a shepherd. The staff was a sturdy stick with a crook on the top, curved. The purpose was to aid in walking, to guide the sheep, to keep enemies away, and the crook could also be used to pull a wayward sheep from an abyss or a cliff. The duty of the shepherd, I think you know, is the welfare of the whole flock, care of the strong and of the weak, caring for the older and the younger. The central responsibility is finding pasture, green pasture, a place to be fed with clean water for drinking. Slow-moving water was best and almost necessary. If the water flowed too fast, the sheep would be afraid to drink or even get close to the rapidly flowing water. And it would be important to lead them to water that was calm. The shepherd protects the sheep from all the predators. The shepherd would know the sheep, seek the lost, care for the sick, find a safe place for rest at night. Often a C-shaped enclosed area would be a good place to spend the night. Maybe a wall of rocks with an opening in the front, shaped kind of like a C, as I said, where only there would be one entrance or exit. And it was the shepherd who would sleep or try to rest in that opening to keep any danger on the outside and the sheep safe on the inside, laying down one's life. As Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd in John 10, Jesus points out in this part of that passage or that chapter the difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand. Jesus says that the hired hand is not the shepherd. Because when the wolf or other predator comes, the hired hand leaves the sheep and runs away seeking safety. The hired hand runs because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. He does not own the sheep. The hired hand views being a shepherd as a job. And for the good shepherd, it is life. When the hired hand runs away, the unprotected sheep are snatched and scattered. The good shepherd does not run away from danger. The shepherd does not leave the flock alone. The shepherd does not leave the flock on their own. The shepherd is for all the sheep, for them, in favor of them, there to protect and guide them. And the heart of the matter comes five times in these eight verses. Jesus describes what he means by good shepherding. He defines the cost of being the only true shepherd when he says in this passage that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verses 11, 15, 17, and twice in 18, the good shepherd lays down their life for the sheep. For Jesus, the good shepherd laying down his life is a free choice of love and sacrifice in order to save the whole flock, the whole family, the whole garden, to bring all to himself, as we read in this passage. Christ gathers all people, protecting all people from enemy schemes, false leaders, from deadly injustice, from those who seek to scatter and divide. The Good Shepherd seeks to restore safety, renewal, guidance, goodness, mercy, and comfort in the face of death itself, in the face of those moments when we are scattered, in the face of those moments when we feel a bit overwhelmed, in the face of those moments when we wander close to the edge, or we think we can find a better path. In all of that, the Good Shepherd is with, guarding, guiding, holding, leading, comforting, holding us close. Although we are not the Good Shepherd, in 1 John chapter 3, and also in the lesson from 1 Peter, there is important teaching which reminds us of the vital importance of the Good Shepherd in our lives and what we are called to be and do. In verses 16 and 17 of 1 John 3, we know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? In this passage, we are called to the ministry of the Good Shepherd. Although we are not the Good Shepherd, in the name of Jesus, we are called to a ministry, as we heard in the prayer, of shepherding each other and all people. And in preparing for tonight, I'm not sure why, but the word hired jumped out at me. And I had to ponder that for a while. It is obvious the hired hand does not own the sheep. Even so, a hired hand has a responsibility to the owner for the sheep and to the owner. It is almost a life and death responsibility. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, as a member of the Holy Trinity, as the Word present at creation, does own us, because God, the Creator, Savior, and Comforter, created us and gives us the gift of life here and now, not by chance, but for purpose here and now. In this shepherding ministry we are called to, we do not own each other or at all. or even parts of the creation itself. We like to say we do, but really it is gift, and we are called to care for it. We are all created and secure in God's love. We are called by Christ in love, to serve, to care for each other and all people, again in the image of the good shepherding of Jesus. The shepherding ministry Jesus shares with us and calls us is never about being in control. It's never about holding power over others. It's rather about inviting and welcoming, giving and sharing life, enhancing protection, giving life-forming affirmation, celebrating the diversity of this garden and of all people. For everyone that is here in God's garden for God's divine purpose is our sibling. We are called to care for them, honor and guard them, and give this sense of respect and care to each other and all people. Today I visited a member of the congregation, 98 years old, just on March 7th, Myrtle Holman. And as I sat with her, remember I'm an interim pastor, but as an interim, all of us would give the fullness of who we are to the congregation we are serving, no matter for how long or for how short it may be. And so I have a lot to learn. It's only been a year and a few months. And so what happened today as I was with Myrtle was I was realizing that this 98-year-old saint was shepherding me. She was practicing the ministry of shepherding me. This pastor that is an interim is here with love and care. But when a new pastor is called, that interim leaves graciously. And so she told me stories of the life and history of this congregation that I hadn't heard. She told me about inner relationships in this congregation that I was unaware of. And she told me that in the face of those inner relationships, Pastor Eckert, be careful who you're talking to, because you don't know who's hearing what you're saying. Now, if that's not shepherding, how wondrous that was. I would be careful anyway when I'm speaking, and I think we all would. But that gift of telling me so many connections that I wasn't aware of in people, I see this community differently. And certainly the community of Liverpool and Newport and where the students at Greenwood also. I see the close love of a community that you are and have. So I'm only 30 miles south where I live, but I see here a very deep sense of connection, love, and care for each other. You do it in the ministerium, you do it in each of your congregations, and we do it here. And we really aren't doing it in, I don't sense competition. I hope not, I'm sure there's not. It's rather a sense of cooperative ministry, because what's at stake is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's at stake is sharing the good news of Jesus. What's at stake is not who did this or who did that. It's, were we able to share the gospel? Were we able to shepherd one another? Were we able to embody, that's all we can do, to embody the gift and the love of the good shepherd? Well, Myrtle did that today, and I came away humble, thankful, and strengthened for the gift of being a pastor. I think each pastor here tonight and in your ministerium realizes the gift it is to be a pastor. It is challenging and it's not always easy, and you won't please everybody. But it is a gift to have the opportunity to make a visit to a 98-year-old saint and to, instead of talk, just listen and grow in faith, because that growth in faith never stops. The gift of those visits is, for me, one of the most precious parts of being a pastor. And so I wanted to share that with you, what Myrtle's ministry means to me. And I'm saying that to emphasize your ministry as shepherds, and the ways you shepherd and minister to each other in the community, in your family, remembering always that the little acts of harmony and love spread out into the world for the good of the whole garden. Jesus, the true and only good shepherd, did once and for all lay his life down for the whole flock. Jesus took his life up again in the power of the resurrection and ascended to heaven. In Christ, you and I are set free. We are released. We are called. The Holy Spirit breathes into us life and healing and sends us out in the name of the Good Shepherd to work for justice, to live sharing kindness, to walk humbly with God, and to see the dignity and the uniqueness of every human being around us, the beauty of the garden itself, which you really have along the river, and in that humble walk with God and with each other, may we indeed be shepherds of each other and all people. And may we shepherd well, and in moments of confusion or uncertainty, pull each other closer, listen more intently to the Good Shepherd, and give thanks for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. When this came up and Eileen shared the theme that it was going to be, the I Am Sayings of Jesus, I wasn't the first to respond. I'm still learning my way, in a sense. But I was glad to see that the night for I Am the Good Shepherd was still open. And so with Eileen's help, we made sure we were able to be here, because the congregation has that name. And we have before us a picture of Jesus the Good Shepherd, which represents not only John's Gospel, but Revelation. The revelation, the gift of that river of life, the faces that are different colors for all people, the sheep, the water, the life, the Good Shepherd Jesus. May we shepherd well. In the name of Christ, amen. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen.